Was there a plot to stifle free music streaming? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Senior law enforcement officials from two states, New York and Connecticut, are looking into whether Apple's brand new music streaming service might have been built on deals that quash competition. Unlike some competitors, there's no free version of Apple's new service, the kind where you don't have to pay outright, but for the privilege, you have to listen to ads. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been gathering some more information about this. Tracy, why might these attorneys general be interested in Apple now?
The investigation is still ongoing, but they're looking into whether Apple has pressured music labels to pull back from other services that have freemium models. So basically, many of Apple Music's new competitors, like Spotify, for example, have two different types of memberships. The first is free, but with ads every now and again, and the second tier drops the ads for a monthly fee. If Apple was able to offer music that other free sites didn't have, that might help draw customers to its paid service. But collusion and anti-competitive behavior are big no-nos for companies. And so these attorneys general say they want to preserve options for customers.
And what is Apple saying about this?
They haven't commented yet, but this all came to light when the New York Attorney General published a letter on its website from Universal Music Group, which basically says Universal doesn't have any agreements with Apple, or Sony Music or Warner Music for that matter, that would impede the availability of free or ad-supported streaming services.
Now, this is not the first time that attorneys general have knocked on Apple's door with some antitrust questions. Are there parallels here with that electronics book pricing case?
Yes. Again, this is still in the investigation stage, but a couple of years ago, a New York appeals court found that Apple had colluded with a handful of book publishers to raise the price of e-books. Apple agreed to pay $450 million to settle that case.
All right. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you so much. Apple's streaming music service is the latest entrant into a crowded field. There's news today that Spotify just raised another $500 million from investors to try to beat Apple. Spotify, Pandora, and others are already vying for listeners' attention. They're also changing the music business, as you would imagine. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
This is a message from your heart.
This song launched musician Kina Granis' career. With it, she won an online music video contest and appeared in a Super Bowl ad in 2008. She also got a record contract with a major label. Granis says it was a dream come true until she woke up to reality.
So I met with my label, and they had a plan to have me rewrite an entire album.
Granis didn't want to change her music, so she did something she'd never imagined. She dropped the label. This was when she just started putting up music online and had about 10,000 fans.
It became very clear to me that I would be able to find people, and I had found people in the world that did want to hear my music.
Granis was right. In the last few years, her efforts to grow her fan base online have yielded more than 1 million subscribers to her YouTube channel.
More new music will be discovered than used to be the case.
Larry Miller is a professor of music business at NYU.
It's now possible for almost any artist to access one of the broad distribution networks.
So getting heard is easier, but getting paid is harder. Musicians in particular have been complaining about streaming's business model, paying less than a penny per stream. It's eating away sales of albums and MP3s. Casey Ray is with the Future of Music Coalition, a musicians' advocacy group.
In prior eras, a small artist could probably get by with selling 50,000 copies, whereas if you translate that to, you know, fractions of pennies from streams, it's much, much harder to pay your rent.
Fractions of pennies add up, though. Last month, Warner Music Group reported that, for the first time, revenues from streaming surpassed downloads. Individual artists aren't all sharing in that bounty, even Kina Granis, who's got millions of views on YouTube.
Ad revenue for me is pretty small, although YouTube is what fuels the entire thing.
It fuels interest in concert tours, which Granis says are her biggest source of income. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Wither the numbers. The FT 100 index in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up about 2.5 hours here before formal trading begins on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. Ever suspect they call you a, quote, manager so they don't have to pay overtime? Right now, managers paid more than $23,660 a year under federal rules are exempt employees, meaning overtime work is typically not compensated. Consider it your personal donation to the company. Today, a House committee looks at raising that ceiling so that people earning $52,000 a year would be eligible for time and a half. Interesting, right? Gigi Duban reports.
The new rules would affect certain salaried workers who put in long hours with no overtime. Aaron Dubay teaches economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. He says, take a shift supervisor at McDonald's.
Now, she is hardly someone we think of as an executive employee, but the law does not require McDonald's to pay her overtime even if she works 50 hours a week.
Dubay says what seems like a huge jump in the overtime threshold simply brings things up to 1975 standards when you adjust for inflation. The effect?
We're talking about as many as 10 million workers getting a raise.
A National Retail Federation report says the change could cost businesses $5 billion a year. But Stephen Trejo, an economics professor at the University of Texas at Austin, says employers will make adjustments, like cutting straight time pay.
Then there's not going to be pressure on firms to raise their wages.
He says workers might be better off in the short term, but it might just even out in the long term. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
By the way, the new rules apply to people making $52,000 a year or less. Alibaba chairman and co-founder Jack Ma told the Economics Club of New York yesterday that life in some ways was better when he was making the equivalent of $12 a month as an English teacher in the late 1980s in China. Jack Ma is now China's richest person or second richest person, depending on the day, something in the $22 billion a year range for net worth. He says his fortune means he has to spend, quote, on behalf of society. The e-commerce tycoon says he's not here to compete with eBay or Amazon. He's visiting the U.S. to figure out ways to get U.S. companies to sell to Chinese consumers via his brands. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.